We continue our reading of the prophet Samuel, and we're to now in chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. We'll begin our reading at verse 23, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. Now, we're concluding a story that began with our last scripture reading, and David with his band, a now fairly sizable group of warriors, but also refugees. They're fleeing the ungodly malice of King Saul, and they're in the southern desert region of Israel, and they're amongst people who are shepherds, and there's a great amount of livestock. And one of the men is a man named Nabal, and he's a rich man with tons of flocks, and David has been more or less protecting those flocks while his men were there. And so it's the shearing festival. This is the first half of the chapter. And David sends a messenger and says, you know, you're shearing sheep. How about sharing some with us? We need it, and you have it, and we've been protecting you. And Nabal insulted him and really spoke very disrespectfully to David. Word get back to David, and the first half of the chapter ends with David venting his spleen and his wrath, and he's armed a bunch of men, and they're going to go, and they're going to slaughter all of them, and that will show them to talk to him in such a way. Well, the hero of the story is the wife of the foolish man Nabal, and she's one of the more lovely figures in Scripture. Her name is Abigail. And she is called a woman of discretion. And her husband is a lout. In fact, Nabal means worthless. And she's forced to say he is as he is named. And she realizes that what's happening is going to be utterly ruinous. And so she earlier had sent supplies, get some supplies out towards David and his men. But she herself is going to go. And we pick up with Abigail presenting herself before King David, and she is a model of godly femininity and of Christian faithfulness. She is going to give him the supplies that he needs, but she personally intercedes, and she kneels before him, and she actually says the words, verse 24, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. She says, look, if you're going to blame anybody, I'll take the blame, and I just don't want you to slaughter my whole household, and you were right, my husband, he is a rather worthless man, and he's been very foolish. But look, I've sent you the supplies. But then she says this to David. She goes, you know, I'm actually doing this for you as well, because God's going to save you. You're David, and I know what God's, we all know what's going on with you and God's redemption of you. So look, you don't need to take vengeance this way. You don't need to slaughter people, because God has promised to deliver you. But when he does, you're going to be awfully glad you didn't have the blood guilt on your hands for what you're about to do in your vengeful anger. And that's the appeal she makes. And David recognizes the godliness and the wisdom of her words. How often it's through wise women that men come to their senses about their folly. And he praises her. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. You know, David realizes, do we realize this as well? That God's providence will intervene to keep us from sin. And let me say, if you're in the pathway of sin and God's providence is sending somebody to warn you, or he's sending some barrier before you, take stock of that and leave off your sinful intention. And David does this, and he blesses her, and he admits, if it weren't for you, I would have slaughtered everyone there. And he admits that would have been a wicked thing. Well, the story ends with Abigail going home, that woman of discretion, and her discretionless husband is drunk, and he's behaving, and she doesn't even talk to him because it's just kind of pointless. The next morning, as a dutiful wife, she says, by the way, you're not going to like this. This is my paraphrase. But look, I have saved everybody by sending the supplies David asked for, and so we're not all going to be wiped out. Feel free to thank me. He does not. He's so angry, he has a heart attack, and he dies a few days later. And David sees this as God's vengeance on Nabal, which undoubtedly it is, but it's also Abigail's liberation. The whole thing reminds us, we find ourselves maybe like Abigail in a difficult situation, or like David, we're being insulted, we're being treated badly. We're not to take it into our own hands. We're not to sinfully get ourselves out of a situation. We have a God. I sometimes like to ask, how would your circumstance change, David, if hypothetically, there was a sovereign, omnipotent, covenant-keeping God who loved you? Oh, that would help a lot. It helps us a lot. We don't need to break our marriage vows. We don't need to slaughter people. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't be acting in vengeance against others. And of course, the passage ends with David sending to Abigail, "How'd you like to be my wife?" There's a good word for young men. This is the kind of woman you want to marry, an Abigail. And she marries David, and we see at the end of the passage, he's not perfect. He may be a lot better than Nabal, but he's going to need her ongoing discretion and grace. Well, that's enough. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. We begin at verse 23. "When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my lord regard this worthless fellow, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now then, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant. For the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my lord shall be bound up in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause or for my lord taking vengeance himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my lord, then remember your servant.' And David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from avenging myself with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to me, truly by morning there had not been left in Nabal so much as one male.' Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, 'Go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition.' And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, 'Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I have received at the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head.' Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, 'David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife.' And she rose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, 'Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord.' And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her 5 young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and both of them became his wife." Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was of Galim. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.